Okay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry for my terribly bad voice, so I won't disturb you for long. My name is Nils Kalstad Svensen, and I'm the head of the Department of Information Security and Communication Technology at the IE faculty. It's a great pleasure to welcome you all to this joint seminar with the Research Council, and which Elisabeth has put a tremendous effort into organizing. And also thank you to Ulla, who has done lots of the coordination, and Marius and Laura, who has also been taking care of this from the NTNU side. So my job is quite easy, actually. So I was going to wish you all welcome, and I have no voice, and then it became quite hard to do a quite easy job. But this has become kind of a tradition here on campus Gjøvik to have this seminar in the beginning of the year. It's the third running time that we have it. We have found a good format with the first a tight program with common presentations in the morning, and then a set of one-to-one meetings in the afternoon. For the internal participants from the Gjøvik side, I have to say that there are still open slots for the meeting with the representatives from the Research Council, so I really encourage you to sign up to these meetings and take advantage of them. We are now part of the IE faculty, at least the operations that I'm working in, and I'm very pleased also to have Ida here, who is the EU coordinator from the IE faculty, and I'll give her, she has a much, I think even if I had my normal voice, she has a much nicer voice than I do. So she will tell about, a few words about the work that the IE faculty is also doing with respect to the EU applications. So you get that introduction, and Ida is also around this afternoon for additional Q&A or discussions for those who are interested in that. So again, thank you for coming. I hope you get interesting discussions, good information, and have a good day. Shuida.
All right. My name is Ida. I'm the EU advisor at the EA faculty. I could have been talking to you for a really long time. I have a lot to say, but we can take that later. I just want to introduce myself. And the team that are working with EU at the faculty. I think to say that we have a quite good team. We have, I'm alone now as an EU advisor. By the end of January, we will be two people working. We also have an EU lawyer centrally that are going through all contracts and help you with IPR and everything you have to worry about with the legal issues. We have a really good team of financial officers ready to help you with budgeting. And we are trying to help with everything from when you start thinking about wanting to apply till you get the project and to go through with the whole projecting. My main message for you today, and from all those others in my team in Trondheim, is if you are considering applying to the EU, please contact us as soon as possible, because there are a lot of routines and processes that we need to go through with you, that both the departments, the faculty, and to NTNU centrally requires us to do. So we are ready to help you with anything. And if you just want information or you need help with finding partners or calls, please contact us. Did any of you ever apply to the EU for funding? Yeah, good. Did any of you get any projects? Wow, all right. So I guess you are quite well known with the system then, but still maybe not with the how engine you are doing it internally. So still, if you are quite experienced in the EU, please contact me anyway, so I can help you with all the paperwork that NGNU requires. I don't think I'll take any more of the time now, so thank you. I will be around the whole day, and yeah, my contact information you will find online. My name is Ida Lerheim. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Ida. Thanks a lot. You can just put it there. Yeah, just mute it. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Ida and Nils, for the introduction. A heartfelt welcome here today to all of you. As Nils mentioned, this is the third year we're having this seminar on request from NTNU with a focus on information technology. But if you're not in information technology, I hope you will get something out of the day anyway, because many of the programs we will be talking about today are relevant for also other types of areas. My name is Elisabeth Friedland, and I'm working as a regional representative for the Norwegian Research Council. I have offices together with Innovation Norway here in Hedmark and Oppland. My offices are in Hamar and in Lillehammer, so I'm living and working here. I will tell you a bit more about that later. Just to run you through the program briefly. You've all got the program and the participant list, I hope. If not, they're just outside the door when you take a short break later. We will be hearing from a few of our programs in the Research Council, which we think are probably the most relevant for people who are applying for the information technology sector. First, we will be hearing from also the big EU Horizon 2020 program, and then we will have presentations from our BIA program, our FreePro program, our FORNY program, which I hope will be in use a lot here, as you have a TTO establishing here from NTNU. And we will also hear from some of our closest collaborators, which are Innovation Norway. I will introduce them later. And the Regional Research Fund, which we are collaborating with a lot. We will have lunch at 11 for half an hour. I think that's somewhere else. We can tell you later. And then we will we plan to stop around 10 to 2 latest. After which we will have a closed session of bilateral meetings for researchers, which are already pre-booked. So with that, I think I give the floor to my colleague Henning Mogerud. Welcome. You're from Henning is working at our main office, our headquarters at Lysaker, just outside Oslo, and he will be talking about possibilities in Horizon 2020. Yes, that's good for. Tar vi den. Andre veien, sånn er det liksom. Sånn. Og så litt nært.
Hører du meg?
Sett den litt nært til munnen. Tror jeg funker bra.
Okay, good morning. I'm Henning Mogerud from the Research Council. And I'm national contact point for the Horizon program in the two work programs for security and ICT, which means most of my job consists of helping you to submit successful proposals for these two work programs. The presentation today will be focused on, of course, ICT and security, because those are my programs, but also because that's where the more specific ICT opportunities are. I saw some of you have submitted proposals to the EU, and there's also one proposal to that. I'll assume that not everyone knows the programs in detail, so I'll give a short background first to set the scene. Horizon 2020 is EU's eighth framework program for research and innovation. You may have heard of FP7, which was the 7th, and of course Horizon 2020 is the FP8, but they invented a new name for it, the Horizon 2020. It runs from 2014 to 2020 for 7 years, and the total budget is about 75 billion euros for 7 years. The Norwegian contribution through the EEA agreement is about 2.9 billion euros. The current work program is 2016 to 2017. There are three-year work programs, 2014 to 15, 16 to 17, and also the 18 to 20. The last one is 3 years. So we're in the middle of the 2016 to 2017 now. Each work program is also divided into thematical work programs, which and ICT and security are two of them. Health and transport and so on are others. I'll give you an overview of them now. The work programs divides into calls and the detailed topics. And for the topics are where the proposals are submitted to. Each topic has a budget, and they also have specific conditions. And there are general conditions that applies to all topics, but there could be specific, or often is specific conditions for the topics. So you have to read the work program closely to see what applies to your specific topic. The next work program is in progress. That's also part of our job to feed back into the EU Commission the Norwegian input to the next work program, and also the next framework program, the FP9, which runs from 2020 to 2027, I think. You may have seen this, but I'll do it anyway. There are three pillars in the Horizon 2020, and the move from excellent science, which is very open research. You can have an idea and you can get the EU Commission to sponsor it. So it's very far from the market. It's groundbreaking research, most of it. In particular, the European Research Council is groundbreaking research. You have the industrial leadership, which is closer to the market, and societal challenges, where the topics are modeled from the societal challenges the EU sees. So these are very specific topics which the Commission wants you to do research on. If you don't have an idea within these areas and topics, there's no money in that pillar for you. And the two programs with more specific ICT calls and topics are, of course, the information and communication technologies in Pillar 2 and the secure societies in Pillar 7. The reason for the secure societies is that there's a digital security focus area, and they have placed that in the secure societies theme. So it'll be easier to show you which programs that do not have ICT in them, because ICT is an enabling technology, and it's everywhere. In transport, in health, we're everywhere, almost. Except, they say, that in biotechnology, in space, and access to risk finance. I don't know these programs. I find it strange that there's no IT in space, but the other ones maybe. I'm going to take you through a few definitions. I'm not going to bore you with lots of technical stuff, but I think you need to know about this. There's something called TRLs, technology readiness levels, and that's a scale from 1 to 9 that defines the market maturity for the result of the project that you apply for, and it goes from 1 to 9. The first level is more like where you have an idea on a post-it note, and the 9 is where you have a plastic wrapped shrink product ready to market. So level 1 and 9 is not—they're not much used. Another concept is the actions. Each topic has, or almost every topic, at least in my two work programs, has an action. And it specifies how much research there is in the topic. There's the RIA, the Research and Innovation Action, which is the most research-driven parts. And there are specific conditions to the RIAs. You have to have at least three legal entities from member states or associated countries. Member states are the EU member states. Associated countries are typically Norway and Switzerland and non-EU members. And there's also a third level called the third countries. The funding rate for RIA is 100%, and the typical duration is 3 to 4 years for the projects, which means that the the project financed under the first work program, 2014 to 2015, they're still running. The innovation action is closer to market, higher up on the TRL scale that you saw. Only 70% funding rate, which they encourage the industry to participate in these actions, and then they expect the industry to also put up the money for it, and then 30% in the IAs. And there's the CSA, coordination and support actions, which is really not research; it's more support. Standardization is an example of what you can work with in the CSAs. They're networking and not research. I just put these two slides in there. Don't try to read them. I stole them from the SwissCorps. They give a very good overview, complete overview of the actions that are available. My previous slide, these are the most relevant actions to the ICT projects, those three. There are lots of others. I think the most can you read this? No, you can't. Well, the most important of the others are, I guess, pre-commercial procurement and public procurement of innovation solutions. They pop up down then in the pillar 2 and 3. So these are just for reference if you pick up the PowerPoint. Okay, ICT Light, which is the official name for the ICT program, have those sub calls. There aren't that many topics left as we're halfway into the program. So, if you recognize your research area in one of these sub calls, you should have a look into it. Content is number 6. I think that's big data. Here's the complete list of topics with deadlines this year. And the problem here is, of course, the date, 25th of April. If you haven't started on a project by now or a proposal by now, it's probably kind of late, at least if you're trying to coordinate a project. Being a partner or in a project, that's okay. And if you've submitted proposals previously and also won, then you could possibly start up a project now, but it's very late now. I don't expect you to read all this now. Also, these are for reference when you pick up the PowerPoint. I'm not going to go through all of these topics. One more point. Some of them have multiple actions. As you can see, some of them are both RIA, IA, and CSA. So there are all levels of research in some of these topics, which could make them more interesting. There are some with deadline even earlier in March. These are specific calls with cooperations with Brazil. Maybe not that relevant.
I just wanted to say that if you have questions, you just wave, okay? We didn't say sure. That, so you can either just ask us or ask us at the end as you like.
Yeah. And there are also the relevant ICT relevant calls in the Secure Societies program. There's a digital security focus area, and We also have the critical infrastructure protection. That's one topic that's a very popular topic in Norway. I know several submissions last year and also this year. Many of these topics are technology driven, so they will contain some opportunities for ICT. Norway has been trying to push these topics or calls to be more social science content. We're trying to do that in our next work program. We'll see how that goes. But for now, lots of technology and opportunities for IT. And these are then the relevant topics in detail. There's one. This date is in August, so this is a lot better date to start up now. But it's still, we usually say that it takes 1 year. You should start 1 year ahead. It's 1 man-year is required for submitting a proposal. So starting up later than 6 months before the deadline is not a good idea. There's even one cryptography topic, the second one up there. That has a deadline in April, together with the other ICT topics. And this is I'm going to push this cryptography topic to make sure that Norway submits a good proposal. I know one initiative which NTNU is part of, NTNU Trondheim, and Bergen, and Simla in Bergen, and the National Security Agency. Norway has a good crypto environment, research environment. And if Jøvik, I don't know if Jøvik has any crypto competence, but if they do, they should contact Christian Jøsten in Trondheim, because he's leading this project. There are, of course, ICT-relevant topics in the other work programs, as I said. I picked out these I've identified. The Future and Emerging Technologies in Pillar 1, FET program, with a deadline in September. Very open topic. Not linked to any societal challenges or problems, so that's a good opportunity if you have a good idea, but it's very cutting-edge technology. We have the research infrastructures in March, probably not a good idea. The innovation in SME, I don't know the SME program very well, but it has two phases and multiple deadlines, I think four deadlines a year, so that could be possible. The SC1, Societal Challenge 1, Health, which is a deadline in March, also very late. The SC4, Smart and Green Integrated Transport, September and October, that could be possible. And there's something called a separate program called the Cross-Cutting Activities. And there's an Internet of Things topic in there, and that's a deadline in April. And there are also some other topics that may contain ICT, but I haven't read through them. These programs are everything from 100 pages and up, so it's... Even though I'm responsible for ICT in Horizon 2020, I can't read all the programs, so I have to depend on someone else doing it for me. And as luck has it, someone else does it for me.
Can I just comment a little bit, because sure. You mentioned the SME program, which hasn't been used much in our region, but we have one company, as far as I remember, who has landed a big project actually, from Hamar, and it's a program which could be used to much greater extent now that you have a TTO established, or the NTNU TTO, I guess, as well. So don't forget about that program. And I just wanted to mention that our colleagues, we have colleagues who can guide you on that, and also Innovation Norway actually. Christian, yeah. Are you awake? So Innovation Norway also has a person dedicated to the SME program. So we can both guide you on that one in case you're interested. It's a very interesting program in a way. Hard to get in, let's say that. But only 6%, I think, about. Oh. But anyway, it's a very interesting one. So.
Yeah, and I think you don't need to be in a partnership. I think you can apply for as a single
that's
business.
Very unique. Mm.
Yeah. This document is very important. The tables I presented in the previous slides is lifted from this document, and it's wonderful. It describes all the ICT related activities in the work program. It's written by the EU Commission together with Idealist, which is an NCP network. So this document I strongly urge you to read if you're planning on submitting a proposal. It's not perfect. I think it's missing some topics, but it's 95% complete, I think. Right. There are some events, upcoming events you should know about. There's the big data days, info days in Luxembourg next week, isn't it? 17th, 18th, yeah. Deadline 19th. That looks strange after the event. That's probably wrong, but there's a deadline and it's not expired. And these are info days for these four topics. So if you're interested in the ICT 14 to 17, you should consider going. At least pick up the material from the event. And there's the European Health Brokerage event in Zagreb. I see that's the health brokerage event, but it's focused or targeted against ICT topics in health. So that's if you're into the health program as well, that's important. There's I'm an NCP for ICT. We have three NCPs for ICT. I also represent security, and the newest NCP we hired is also in health NCP, because there are lots of connections between ICT and health. Deadline is today, so I don't know if they're very strict on deadlines, but if this is something you plan to go to, you should really hurry to register anyway. We have the SC7 training for stakeholders and NCPs for PCP, PPI. PCP, PPI are the two actions I mentioned. Public procurement, something I don't remember what it is. So these are kind of odd actions, but could be useful anyway. There's a one-day training. And the evaluation workshop, which we arrange in the Research Council. This is something we arrange in the security and the ICT programs, and probably in some other programs. 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the deadline, we give you the opportunity to send us your proposal as it is, a more or less final draft of the or late draft of the proposal. We will arrange to have external evaluators to read through it and invite you to Lysaker to talk directly to the evaluators. They will tell you what you have done wrong or good, or you can ask them anything. And this is a very good opportunity. It's 3 weeks before deadline, so you will still have time to correct it. But you need to have a more or less late good draft to send us. So the ICT workshop is March 15th. The security is in early August, I think. We have newsletters. Each work program, I think every work program has a newsletter, and there's also a common newsletter for the entire Horizon. And there's also something called the eHealth Week in Malta. Right, we're here to help you, and Ida is an EU advisor at NTNU, and she's your first contact, but we're your next contact, and we will talk to her. You can also call us, the NCPs, for the work programs. We can put you directly, or more or less directly in contact with the right people in the EU Commission if we need to, and we can ask the Commission, the program officers directly if you have specific questions. We also are members of the NCP networks. I don't know how many networks there are, but Idealists is the ICT network, which is a very well-functioning network. It's existed in the last 20 years, and it's driven by the NCPs and some of the industry, European industry, and we arrange seminars and we have courses, and this is a very, very well-driven network. Security also has a similar network, not that visible as the ICT network, but still, they are also. They have a net web page, and you can go into the web page and see the coming events that they arrange with the industry. We have, as you probably know, the project establishment support is also something called a PUS, which is support you can get for traveling before you start writing a proposal. The PES is for when you have writing of the proposal itself. It depends on that you actually submit a proposal and it is retained, and then you will be refunded. I think the max limit is 200,000 kroner. Is that right? Yeah. Sure. Yeah, the, I forgot to tell you that the big organization has a frame lot. Yeah. We also arrange seminars and courses. I would recommend especially the course that Joe Gorman from SINTEF holds every 3-4 months. There's also someone called Sean MacArthur, who also has excellent courses in proposal writing, in particular in the impact part of the proposals, because that seems to be something that most struggle with. It's a new thing in the Horizon 2020. And the evaluation workshop that I told you about. Right, I also mentioned a report that was written for us quite recently. I don't think it's public yet. The NIFU, the Nordic Institute for Studies and Innovation Research and Education, were hired to write a report on Norwegian participation in the research programs, FP7 and Horizon, to see what if there are any characteristics in the consortium size and consortiums, if there was any common things to see there. And the first and most important result is that size matters. The bigger the consortium, the better chance of getting a proposal accepted. Might not be a big surprise, but it's a really clear trend. The bigger the consortium, the better. 20 better than 10. By far. Not so surprising, maybe, is that prestigious institutions, if you have them on board, you have a better chance to win. In particular, large universities. Bigger is better. But you are, NTNU is a big institution, so you are one yourself. You really depend on commitment from the management. If you don't have that, you will not get the resources you need to write a successful proposal. This takes time. It's not necessarily difficult, but it takes time to write a good proposal. And the last, researchers shouldn't lead the proposal writing. Researchers are researchers. You should get other people to do the coordination job of the proposal writing. Of course, this is a general comment. Some researchers may be very good at writing proposals. A few words on the next work program, which we are working on right now. There's a first draft almost reaches now. We're discussing it on the in the program committee in February. There's a second draft in May and a third in September, and there will be a published new work program for 2018 to 2020 in November, October or November. So there'll probably be a big event in the presentation of it. And also, I'll mention the EXO, which you are members of, I think, the new C contractual public-private partnership for cybersecurity. It was started up last year. There are four Norwegian members, NTNU, Research Council, Simula, and SINTEF. We urge new members to join, because EXO will have a major impact on and be a major contributor to both the ICT and the digital security research topics. And they work quickly. So you should really get on board, unless you're from NTU, which you are, then you already are on board. I don't know who an NTU is a representative. Does anyone know? Yeah.
We are.
But who? Which person? You are. All right. Okay.
And then we are representing all the revenue groups, and we also got the funding for the shadow group of EXO in the Norwegian shadow group. So there will be
launch
of that and activities will roll out through the year.
Fantastic.
So that was coordinated by SINTEF in the writing of the application.
Good. we are in work group 1 and work group 6 in EXO. We as in the Research Council. And I just copied some keywords for the plans for the next work program. These are mostly topics that already exist in the current work programs, I think. Yeah, but we'll see. We haven't seen the first draft yet. The first draft I'll expect will be just a table of contents with very little real content. And we'll discuss it during the next 6 months and fill it with text. There's also something called the European Commission Participant Portal, which is a very complete and comprehensive portal. Not too easy to find your way through if you haven't been there before. But it will tell you anything you need to know about the topics, the funding opportunities, and it's always updated. We also have some information on our website, but we may not always be able to update it in time, but this is always updated. And this is also where you submit your proposals when you get so far. I would also urge people to register as experts, work as an expert, to become evaluators for the proposals in the Horizon. That's a very valuable experience, and they say that if you've been an evaluator, you're in a much better position to submit a successful proposal. Right, I'll just finish off with some snapshots of the teams. This is the ICT team. Kim Davis is a seasoned NCP. Benedicte is the new health and ICT NCP, and myself on ICT and security. And there's also the security team, which is Berit Berg-Kjørom. She has a more social sciences approach to security, while I have a more technological approach. I spent 7 years in the Norwegian NSA, which is my background for being NCP in security in 19. Right, newsletters. You can probably just Google them, that's easier. Right. Any questions?
I have a microphone in case anybody wants to ask anything.
I have an appendix to this presentation. Unfortunately, it's in Norwegian, and it's only for the security program, but it's. I think this is a useful format. Each topic has two slides. One with the details, the name, the action type, the TRL, and the dates, and also a description of which what type of participants are targeted to the call, and also a second slide with a bullet point description of what the topic contains. It's very rough description, but it will tell you what this is about. But unfortunately in Norwegian, but you probably all have people speaking Norwegian. So this two slides per topic, and this goes on and on for the SC7 program. I haven't got time to do this in the ICT program. I don't think I will do it because we're so close to the deadlines. So it takes a lot of work. But for the next work program, I should make sure to do this for both my programs, because I think this is a good opportunity to quickly see if this is something for you or not.
Thanks a lot, Henning.
No questions.
Henning will be here all day, so...
Yeah.
Sorry. I got stuck. Thank you. You will be here all day, Henning, so you can also ask questions. Thanks a lot. I got stuck in my own chair. You will be here all day, so you can also ask Henning questions at lunch or during the breaks. So do contact Henning, and we have about 20 man years at the Research Council working for the Horizon 2020 program. Very skilled people, so do use them for everything it's worth, including, of course, your own contact, Ida, and also Innovation Norway can assist you, particularly on the SMB program. So. Listen to Henning and use them because they're really skilled.
Yeah.
Sure. You will. Thanks a lot, Henning. You will get all the presentations afterwards sent to you if you're registered. If not, please tell me your email address and I will make sure that you get the presentations if you want them afterwards. So I'm going to go on to talk a bit about our BIA program before lunch, which I know you're quite familiar with, many of you. How many have used the BIA program before here? Yeah. And that's quite natural because you're used to working with the private sector, I know, the industry here in Gjøvik and around Raufoss. So... you have excellent experience. Since I don't know exactly who all of you are, I'm going to say a couple of words about the Research Council. At first, I know that if you're new to Norway, might be a bit hard to find your way around the system. So just a couple of words, a short introduction at first. Let's say that there are three main development funding agencies in Norway when it comes to research and development. And two of us are represented here today, and that's us in the Research Council and then Innovation Norway, which we have Christian Hedløv Eng, who is the leader here for Innovation Norway in Hedmark and Oppland, and SIVA, who are running the incubators. Innovation centers in this area, which we have three currently. So here we have the top leaders. We're going to get a new leader, actually a new director as of 1st of March in the Research Council. His name is John Arne Röttingen, so he's not on board yet. So currently we still have Arvid Hallén, who is in the picture here, together with Espen Susegg and Anita Kron Tråset, who I'm sure some of you have met because she's been here quite a lot in our area. The Research Council, our role is to fund finance research, of course, as opposed to Innovation Norway, which is working more directly with companies and on the innovation, the commercial side of projects. But we work closely together. We have about 9.3 billion kroner available this year as well over the state budget. And we're funded by all the departments, basically. That means that the different ministries decide what we're going to finance, what type of projects or programs we're going to have. And so we also end up with quite a few programs for that reason. And we fund research projects in the private sector, the public sector,
universities, colleges, and also the health authorities. Our budget is about a fourth of the total research budget in Norway. So about a fourth goes through us, and the rest goes directly to you, for example, and also through the health sector, for example. So about a fourth through us. I have about 450 colleagues at our headquarters at Lysaker, which is just outside Oslo. I'm sure many of you have been there. We moved about 2 years ago from the center of Oslo. But 13 of us are working regionally. And I know that it's sometimes difficult to know the difference between us and the regional research fund, which is represented here today by Hege, who will speak later. We work very closely together, but we're not the same. We're not the same unit. But 13 of us who are employed in the Research Council, the National Research Council, also work out in the regions, and I'm one of them. So I'm working in Hedmark and Oppland, and I have colleagues from Alta to Kristiansand who are working in one or two or sometimes three counties. So I have two, by chance, here. And that means, as I said, that I have three offices, basically, at Hamar and at Lillehammer. And I'm located with Innovation Norway, and I also have an office at Lysaker, obviously. So my job is a bit different, because most of my colleagues are working in a specific program at Lysaker, and possibly also a specific task within that program, while I'm a sort of what we call in Norwegian a potato. I'm supposed to have an overview of all our programs and be able to guide people who want to apply to the right program and the right person also at Lysaker for guidance. For example, Henning, who's here today. So I give advice to applicants. I also give advice on how to set up an application. How to set up a project proposal, not for the EU, mind you, although I've worked with EU projects before, but I don't advise on that because we need specific assistance for that. But I advise on how to set up a project proposal to our other programs, which are quite a few. And we also arrange a lot of conferences, seminars like this one, courses, information meetings, on our own initiative and also on your request. So please let us know if there's a topic you're specifically interested in. We have a lot of programs, a lot of different schemes in the Research Council. I've counted a couple of times, and I think we have about 60, depending on how you're counting, at least. And I know that Innovation Norway has probably something similar. So there's a lot of programs to keep track of, a lot of possibilities, and that's where I get in, I hope, to be able to guide you to the right one. I'm just showing you a few here today, the ones we're going to talk about, basically, because these are the programs which... well, let's say that the programs I've picked out here are probably the most relevant for our region, but we're going to talk about you... about a few of them here today, which are more relevant for the information technology sector. So a lot of programs and a lot of possibilities, I would say. But I'm going to talk a bit about the BIA program. The BIA program is the biggest program we have for companies, let's say that. It's the program of all the programs we have which is most geared towards developing companies and innovation, to sum up. BIA is supposed to support the best R&D projects in the business sector. The programs, the projects which have or require a lot of research. If they don't, they would rather go to Innovation Norway, I would say. But if they require a lot of research, we can definitely help you to fund it. It has to have a high level of innovation, very high level of innovation. It has to have a really good team. That's very, very important. And international cooperation is also very important to come through or to get through in this program. And a really strong focus on the commercial side of the project and value creation. Naturally, since this is a program which is geared towards companies. BIA is, as opposed to most other programs we have, it's an open scope. That means that any type, more or less, any type of branch can apply for BIA. There's no real limit. It's only that if we have another program which is specifically on one type of business, it can be natural to apply there. For instance, we have a big program for bioeconomics, and if you're in that sector, you might want to choose another program. But BIA is quite open to most, and for that reason, we also have quite a lot of ICT projects in BIA. I said that the emphasis is on value creation and cooperation between companies within the country and also outside, internationally. And we require that companies collaborate with research institutions naturally, which is more or less always a requirement when it comes to applying for us, unless the company has their own research company, which would be the case with really big companies. International cooperation is really important, we find. And if we look at the projects we fund through BIA, about 80% of them have international cooperation. As opposed to what Henning said when it comes to Horizon 2020, the size doesn't matter this much here. We're not after really big consortia in BIA. We're always out looking for the right consortia. And typically, a BIA project would have, on average, perhaps 5 or 6 companies collaborating, but that's not necessary. But it's unusual that it's just one company and one researcher collaborating. That's possible, but usually we have more companies collaborating within the BIA program. It's of course geared towards triggering R&D investment in the industry and also funding from the companies who are participating in the project. And we see a strong involvement of small and medium-sized enterprises in BIA. So it's not just big companies who are applying here, but 60%, in fact, of all the participating companies are SMEs. We have 2 main instruments for funding in BIA, as some of you will know. And the most common one is what we call the innovation project for the industry sector. And this is the same category which also HEG is using a lot for the regional research fund, which he will tell you more about later today. So the innovation project is the most common one. And of course, the objective here is to stimulate R&D activity within a company in collaboration with researchers. And the applicant on this type of funding will always be the company who will be applying in collaboration with researchers. And normally we have shared costs here. We usually fund about 35 to 40% of the project, and the rest will have to come from the company or the participating researchers. The other type is the knowledge building projects for industry, which is actually the other way around. It's more like a research project, because there you have the applicant will always be the researcher, and the idea behind that type of of funding is to build strong research communities which are targeted towards the industrial development of companies within the area. So they would have the opposite situation where you have the researcher applying in collaboration with companies, and the possibility there is we're looking for is to strengthen the research unit to be able to work in collaboration with the industries to a greater extent. We have a higher funding possibility there, up to 70-80% can be applied from us. We have yearly calls usually on BIA, but we have lately tried different types of calls also, so you will have to, it's not all ready yet what's going to happen this year, so you will have to look out for that and keep in contact with me. But normally we have a main call in mid-October, and this year it's going to be 11th of October, I think it was the 12th last year, where we will have a call for innovation projects. That means the projects which companies are applying for. Normally a project is funded for about 3 to 4 years. It will have normally, as I mentioned, several companies collaborating within the project. About 1 to 4 million per year per project is quite normal. And as I said, we fund up to 40% usually of the project costs. Companies will have to be have activities in Norway or be Norwegian. And it has to be at least one Norwegian partner in the project, but it can be partners otherwise, both companies and research partners from other countries. That's no problem. That's almost a prerequisite, as I mentioned. That's about 80% of all the projects have partners from other countries. Projects within BIA are evaluated like we do with most our projects. We have a panel who are looking at the applicants, the applications, going through them. We usually set together a team of experts, 3 to 5, who are looking at the applications and evaluating them, and they sort of decide, or they advise us, I should say, on whether the application should go through or not. And then the final decision is taken in the program itself, eventually. Because we got a lot of applications, and we don't always have money to fund all projects, naturally. It differs a lot in the programs how many percentage of the applications we have possibility to fund. But it on average it's somewhere between 10% and 40%. In BIA we've actually have funded up to 40% of applicants sometimes, depending on how much money we get from the ministry, of course. But it would always be rough, tough competition for programs in the Research Council. The panels are put together by different types of expertise, usually R&D expertise, innovation, business modeling expertise, different types of people who are in the panel. That's the way it's being done, yeah. I thought I would just stop in a minute, but I'm just going to show you a couple of projects which have participants from our region. I'm sure you know, maybe you even participate in some of them. If you do, please wave. This is one virtual reality project. Spherical Stereo for Virtual Presence is a BIA program, BIA project, which has Making View, which I'm sure you know, a company from Hamar, working with virtual reality, 3D. I'm not going to go run you through all the details, but that's a really interesting project. Making Vue in collaboration with Squarehead from Oslo and SINTEF in Oslo also. Running through next year as well. The next two projects are, and this is not no surprise, related to the Raufoss cluster of companies, integrated hardening and sheet press performing of aluminium, which has participants from Raufoss Technology, Hydro Aluminium, SINTEF, SINTEF Raufoss. That's a program which is running through 2019. And another one from the Raufoss environment, the car industry, optimal design and production process for composite gas pressure vessels. This is Hexagon Ragasco, which I'm sure you know at Raufoss, a company which uses a lot of R&D and applies for a lot of support. Very, very R&D intense company, as are many at the Raufoss cluster. Very interesting program project, also running through next year. Just to finish off, I'm going to say that we have a lot of ICT, information technology projects, related projects in BIA, about 15% actually. And that also goes for the entire portfolio. Sorry, 25% in BIA. If we look at the entire portfolio we are funding, in all programs, it's about 15%. So it's quite a lot, actually. But 25% are related to information technology in BIA, and I suppose that's going to be higher in the years to come. So that was it about BIA. And if you have any questions, we can take that during lunch, because we're going to take a lunch break now for half an hour, about. Ulla, you know where we're going?
Yes, we're going to coffee room, which is just on the right-hand side of Atrium. Atrium is like at the opposite the entrance in building A. So you can go through Atrium on the right-hand side with the coffee room. Go to the coffee room, grab your food, and you can sit on the sofas in Atrium. There are no students, it's empty, yeah. You can enjoy it.
We can follow you, eh? Can
yes,
we do that?
Follow me. Yes.
Toilets are downstairs and possibly over there as well?
Yes, next to the Atrium on the right-hand side.
Yeah. So follow Ulla and me, and we'll try to be back around half past, okay? Thank you.
Under eller om vi blir utfordret.
Og lagret motorskåren på